Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser, intern Mark here with you.
I'm glad we have Caroline coming up so we can clear up, apparently. Yeah, I just heard
Jared's, a lot of conversation on the text line.
Jared's
right now.
Unhinged mischaracterization of my anger. By the way, so the waiver wire, what you're saying is once you make a pick, do you drop to the bottom?
You're right. That's what we're trying to get.
Everybody's
to.
Like, have you ever played fantasy football? I'm sorry, guys. My brain wasn't working. Okay.
It's all good.
It happens.
It's all good. But you are the leader of the DJ Ui Angalale fan club. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our good friend Caroline Fenton from Yahoo Sports. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
The DJU Boohoo crew,
That's right.
Yeah.
He's
definitely
the president.
I'm doing great.
The president,
the CEO, the prime minister, the king, all of those words. He's all of those things. And he is in a group of one.
I will say I created this situation, so I'll quickly tell the story. So, you know, DJ Uyangale, this is my whole thing with him. Like, he is what he is, right? He's a college quarterback. If he was anywhere close to what he was supposed to be, he'd be long gone from college football. But I don't hate the pickup by Florida State. I mean, that's why he's starting for them. Like, he's good. He was good at Oregon State last year. They overachieved.
But here's the thing, is the expectations for Florida State were so high. And the expectations were DJ Uiagalelei is one of those special quarterbacks. And that's just not what he is. Like, everyone was putting 2023 expectations on 2024 Florida State.
I didn't hear one person say, oh, now DJ is going to be amazing. He'll be a first-round pick next year.
Not DJ Uiagalelei himself.
Oh, Florida State overall.
As a whole. Yeah. Everyone was picking Florida State to win the ACC. Everyone was picking Florida State to make the college football playoff. Everyone was picking Florida State. And I say everyone. I understand that that's a generalization, and I understand that's hyperbolic. But so many people were picking Florida State to win a college football playoff game. Like, that's not the kind of quarterback that DJ Uiagalelei is. And then you pair it with the fact that they not only lost their starting quarterback, Florida State also lost Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson and Jaheim Bell, their three leading receivers last year. They lost Jared Verse. They lost Braden Fisk. They lost Kalen DeLoach at the linebacker position. Like, they lost so much. And then you add in DJ Uiagalelei, who is what he is. He's fine. He can dink and dunk, but he's not going to win you a game. He's not going to lose you a game because he doesn't throw the football enough to lose you a game, but he's not the kind of quarterback that can win you a game. Jordan Travis was the kind of quarterback that could win you a game if you needed him to.
So anyway, Caroline said, you know, had a tweet the other day. I was like, people still trying to make DJU happen. And it was right when he completed two, like, really great passes on fourth and long, and they scored a touchdown. So I said,
his
like,
only
say,
two great passes of the game.
Sure. Like, to tie the game in the fourth quarter, and he never played again, by the way. He stepped up big in that moment. So I was like, say that again, Caroline. And that was it. And then she's like, and she repeated it. And then I said what I said, which is, again, like, I think he's good. He's not, he's going to be like a fifth round pick, right? Like, something like that.
Maybe.
Like, maybe something like that. But anyway, then that turns into, like, Jared coming at me the next day. And Caroline said, you said he's a changed man. And now apparently I was all mad.
I did not say that.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I was showing him your text. And I'm like, I said, stop lying. And I called him a name that I can't say on the air. We were debating whether I could say it on the air or not, but I probably should err on the side of caution. But, it's just another one
text
of these
it to me.
Games.
Oh, we will.
It starts. Okay. All right. I'll text it to you right now. All right.
So, Caroline, speaking of the ACC, we got Georgia and Clemson coming up this week. Dabo not taking phone calls on his radio show anymore, which is highly disappointing after Tyler from Spartanburg last year. How much pressure is on Dabo this year? You got Klubnik there for what feels like forever, but I think it's only year three for him. You got the game against Georgia, the 12-team college football playoff. How big a year is this for Dabo and where that program is headed with Clemson?
First of all, the no calls on his radio show thing is so weak.
It is.
Like,
I can't
come
stand it.
Oh, and it's so Dabo. Like, as if we all needed a reason to just roll our eyes at Dabo Swinney even more, he goes out and does this. But shout out to Taylor from Spartanburg. I think this is a really big year for coaches like Dabo that are coaching at programs that have high expectations. And look, I'll give Dabo credit. He created those expectations because he brought Clemson from the depths of always really good, but never good enough to win the big one, to then being one of those teams that we were like, are they building a dynasty? It's not. They won two national titles. I don't think that's enough to build a dynasty. But Clemson in those mid-20 teen years, like, they were the team to beat. Dabo Swinney built that, so he gets credit for that. But he hasn't been able to follow it up. So I think it's a big year for him at Clemson. I think it's a big year for James Franklin at Penn State. Frankly, I think it's a big year for Brian Kelly at LSU. I think it's a big year for Josh Heupel at Tennessee. Teams with high expectations, teams that have experienced a bit of success but want a whole lot more, and frankly, teams that expect to be in a 12-team playoff. Whether that's a fair expectation or not, those are teams that can understand and can live with not being in the dance every single year, but cannot live, the dance meaning the 14 playoff, excuse me, but can't live with not being one of the best 12 teams in the country. So I think this is a massive year for Dabo, and I also think that he needs a year that can justify his approach to the transfer portal and to NIL. Because I think we're too early in this like nouveau riche college football to say definitively what's the right way and what's the wrong way. I tend to lean, you need a little bit of both. You need the transfer portal. You need to recruit out of high school. I think that we're going to see if Dabo Swinney's approach can work. I don't think that it is going to, but I think that he needs a 10-2 and 11-1 kind of season, winning the ACC and getting into the 12-team playoff to prove that, hey, my approach works.
It's interesting.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're talking about Clemson right after we talk about Florida State, right? Because, and of course, they could be, they might be the best two teams, although I like Georgia Tech now after watching Saturday. But I mean, it's like the exact, right? Florida State, incredible portal year last year, and because of that, they are a contender. And then I think we saw Saturday that Mike Norvell still isn't doing enough otherwise, and you still have to be, you have to, like, to me, that'll never change. I should never say never on anything, but like, the best teams are still the teams that are getting top five classes every year, right, in high school. And then you know, they keep the best ones and they lose some guys and they pick up some portal guys. Whereas, like you said, Clemson is the opposite, right? They're not doing enough. You have to do something in the portal, right? I mean, like, there's it's got to be like 80-20 or I don't know, whatever. Maybe there's not a number, but it's like 70-30, 80-20 range where it's mostly your own kids, but then you can go out and get two or three big time
supplement.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And Dabo not doing that, I think, is going to be the end of him.
Well, he did say that all of their players are transfers because they transferred out of high school.
Yes, thank you, Dabo.
Fantastic.
I'd like to hear Tyler from Spartanburg's take on that.
It's like they've always been NIL in God's name, image, and likeness.
Some of
the things he throws out there sometimes. I'm like, all right, buddy.
It's incredible. But exactly. I think that when every other team in the country is going out and improving at certain positions, and they're getting guys that have been in college football for 5 or 6 years, and you're matching that with guys that have never played college football before and they're in their second year or first year, I don't really know how you're supposed to contend. Everyone else is getting better and you're not. But I think that we can apply that thought to some teams that we expect to be really good. And I think Ole Miss is one of them. I think it's unfair to say that Ole Miss is just this transfer portal team because they're returning a quarterback in Jackson Dart. They're returning a running back in Ulysses Bentley. They're returning a receiver in Trey Harris. All guys that were incredibly productive for them last season. So it's not just like they have a transfer at every single position. Lane Kiffin was just the most aggressive in the transfer portal. So that falls on Lane Kiffin's coaching job this year. Can he bring together all of these portal pieces and parts and make one cohesive unit? We didn't see that in week zero from Florida State. Look at Texas. Like, Texas is expected to make the college football playoff. Texas is a popular team to pick to win the SEC. Well, Texas also lost a lot last season. Texas also used the transfer portal to fill those holes. So I don't think that you can call it a blanket statement of, oh, if you use the transfer portal, then you're going to be overrated. You're not going to be very good. I don't think that's the case. I think it comes down to coach and quarterback, frankly, and how well and how effectively you were able to utilize the transfer portal while also creating some homegrown talent.
All right, Caroline, I don't know how much we're going to find out about Tennessee this week as they take on the Mocs, no disrespect, to Chattanooga. The NC State game coming up the week after that, which could be pretty interesting. But college football playoff is the expectation for this team, as you've laid out. do you think Tennessee can get there this year? How do you view what the Vols have heading into this and what's going to be a loaded SEC?
What you can learn from this game, Robbie, is that Tennessee is the best team in the country, and they're going to be number one, and they're going to score 75 points a game. That's what we are going to learn this weekend.
But Nico wins the Heisman against Chattanooga. Looking forward to it.
Week one, season over. We've learned everything that we need to know. I think that NC State-Tennessee game is so underrated on the national level. Like, we talk a lot about, you know, Georgia-Clemson and week one and Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Look, rightfully so, because those are awesome games. But that Tennessee-NC State game seems like a battle of two teams that right now might be seen as a little bit more middle of the pack. But in November, we could be talking about in a much different light. That game, I think, is the game that we find out what both of these teams are going to be. Because, frankly, I think that NC State can be a contender in the ACC. Like, that would be my kind of sleeper pick to make the college football playoff. They bring in Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina, who has played a lot of football. He's a four-year starter at Coastal Carolina. They bring back Casey Concepcion at the wide receiver position. They bring in Jordan Waters, who's played a lot of football at the running back position, had a great year at Duke last season. They bring back four of their five starters on the offensive line. Like, if I'm a Tennessee fan, that's not a game that I just say, oh, psh, NC State. Like, I think NC State can be a very good team. Can Tennessee make the college football playoff? Yes, absolutely they can. Absolutely they can. They have one of the best defensive players in college football in James Pierce. The secondary is a question mark. I think the offensive line has the makings of being very good. I think they all just need some time to mesh and to gel. Obviously, you have a lot of pieces coming back that Nico is familiar with. To me, it really comes down to how quickly can Nico catch on? To expect Nico to all of a sudden have this perfect grasp on the offense and walk out there calm, cool, and collected on every single snap, I don't think is really fair. He hasn't played enough college football. And if I learned anything from Hendon Hooker, it's that Josh Heupel's offense is really, really hard and can be difficult and can be incredibly complex. So I think that a little bit of grace for Nico is fair early on, but it comes down to how quickly does he get it. But I think absolutely Tennessee can be a playoff team. Will they get the first round by winning the conference? I'm not going to go that far, but I can see Tennessee being a top 12 team at the end of the season. Absolutely.
So did you see okay, two quick ones here. First of all, Florida State, the immediate take is, well, they're not dead, and this is the new 12 team, and now, like, you know, people like Robbie would complain that, you know, like, it doesn't mean as much. I think it's fantastic. I just wanted to see if you'll validate my feelings. And also, did you see the word that I called Jared, and do you think that I could say it on the air?
Yes, I did see it, and yes, I did laugh, and I had to mute my Zoom. I think that you can say it, but what the heck do I know?
Will you
Let's
say
try not to for now, and then we'll.
Will you say it for me? Call him that for me on a Yahoo podcast, possibly.
Want me to say it now?
No, I don't know. Robbie's got me freaked out.
I'll drop it in there on a Yahoo podcast, and I'll let you know if there I get fired or not.
Well, you guys can swear, right?
Yeah, they're fine.
It
over
gets
there.
Bleeped.
Oh, well, that's fine. You're good then. Yeah, then you're good. Fine. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So if I listen back and it doesn't get bleeped, then I'll report back and let you know that it's all. All good ahead.
Thank okay. You. All right. And I'm right, that this is better. This is awesome. College football is even better now.
100%.
Yes.
So.
Caroline, I'm right. Caroline, tell me I'm right.
Mathematically, yes, Florida State is still alive. Like, yes, it's not over after week zero. That wasn't the case in the four-team college football playoff either. Like, Ohio State lost to whoever it was week one, they went on to win the national championship. But did that look like a college football playoff team to you? Didn't look like one to me.
It did not.
So, like, yes, they could still make the playoff, but not putting any money on that.
Teams get better.
They do. Caroline,
get better.
Thank you very much for being with us. We've made it. College football season is officially back, and we will talk to you soon.
DJU Boohoo Group, right here.
That's right.
Right, my favorite Tannehill tattletale.
Thank you, Caroline. Caroline Fenton with us here on the program from Yahoo Sports. We'll get a little bit deeper into college football weeds coming up next. Week one coming up for Tennessee and Vanderbilt as well. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for being with us in the last segment. Taking down Rex Road's love of DJ Uiagalelei right here on the program.
Yeah. He's still in the Heisman race.
He's still in.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
He's not out of it.
No. You can't say he's out of it yet.
Probably not.
You cannot.
Yeah, I just, again, like, he's, I don't know, like, did Florida State make a mistake in getting DJ Uiagalelei as their quarterback this year?
Well, what were their other options? I don't know.
I don't really know.
I mean, our game we played last week seems like there are a lot of quarterbacks available, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how many teams out there are just like, well, we have this sophomore, redshirt sophomore who could be good, but instead of finding out, let's just go get the fifth-year guy.
Yeah.
He's good. He wasn't terrible in that game. Are there still some issues with him that kind of go back to why? Yeah, I mean, he's not a great runner, and, you know, he misses some throws. Yeah, he did make some big-time throws in the fourth quarter, just saying.
He did.
Then he sat there, and he watched as his defense could not stop the Georgia Tech offense. But, by the way, I like Georgia Tech.
I do, too.
Haynes King in that offense. Yeah. I'm keeping my eye on them. Another team that's interesting in the ACC, Virginia Tech, come into Nashville this week.
That is correct. Week one for Vanderbilt and Tennessee this week. Tennessee taking on Chattanooga. So you would hope you don't learn a ton about the Vols this week. I mean, if you do, that means it's probably not good. So we'll see what happens with Tennessee. On the Vanderbilt front, Virginia Tech, a 13.5 point favorite coming to town. I believe this game was originally supposed to be at Nissan Stadium when they planned this a couple years ago, and now it is at Vanderbilt Stadium. So Virginia Tech coming in on the road. Some people, I have seen it. Some people, I think Brett McMurphy was one of them, picked Virginia Tech to be in the college football playoff. So we'll see what happens on that front. But we're going to find out, number one, who the starting quarterback is for Vanderbilt this week. Number two, what that looks like in a game setting and how much different this group is with the roster turnover they've had from last year to this year, with Clark Lee calling plays on the defensive side of the ball. Lots to discover about this Vanderbilt team coming up on Saturday in a very tough test against Virginia Tech at home.
Yeah, I'm going to head over there today to Vanderbilt, and it's really interesting. And the new stadium, and it looks pretty awesome. I've not seen it in person, but it looks pretty good. The stuff they've done, now you can see it's going to, I think, make for a lot better atmosphere too, and just a better situation for fans. But, Virginia Tech is another one of those teams that some people think, I mean, they return, I think, like 20 starters. I think that's right. Yeah. First of all, that's weird to even hear anymore in college football. 20 starters, that says something to me about what's going on in the program, because, you know, there's so much movement with players now. And I know they weren't great last year, but that can mean something. That used to be the thing, you know, college football teams. Just when sophomores become juniors and juniors become seniors, as long as they're improving, like, then that team, and they bring a bunch of starters back, that team could be a lot better the next year. So going to be really interesting. I mean, Caron Drones is a very good, talented quarterback for them. I think Diego Pavia will be Vanderbilt starter. Maybe Clark Lee will talk about that today. But it's just a totally new offense, whole bunch of new players. And, you know, the new offensive coordinator, Tim Beck, not to be confused with the other Tim Beck in college football. And it's going to be really, really interesting. I think it's, like you said, 13.5.
Yep.
For the Hokies. So, I mean, they're a very known commodity, and they're good. I don't know if they're great, but they're good. And then Vanderbilt is a very unknown commodity.
Very unknown. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how that all comes together. Got a texture that says, if Nico plays at a Heisman level this year, do you think Tennessee has a legitimate shot at a national championship? What do you make of that? If you're given the fact that he's a Heisman-level quarterback, do they have a legitimate shot at the championship?
Sure. Absolutely.
I think so.
I don't think that's controversial. If he plays at a Heisman level, then we're talking about a season that looks like 2 years ago, right? But I don't know how much better, but like this defense on paper compared to the 2022 defense, it's better.
It's better. Well, start going through we'll find out about the secondary.
Yeah,
the secondary is going to be interesting. Heupel's been talking it up all camp. We'll see what that looks like once actual games come around. One thing that is, I don't know that it's really debatable, go look at you could include the entire front seven in this, but specifically their pass rushers. Go look at them. Like, it's not just James Pierce. They're about, between the defensive line and the outside linebackers, I mean, you can start listing them off, that have played football or are a five-star recruit. They're about 12 deep Like, it's pretty wild how deep they are at that spot.
It's like one of those things where if you could just take, like, a couple of those guys and then combine them into, like, a great corner.
Yeah.
And then another couple and combine them and make a great safety.
Like, they've got Jordan Ross, who's one of their biggest recruits they've had in a while, who is, like, fourth string right now.
Yeah, five-star. Bama wanted him. Yeah. And he will be a big-time player there. I wouldn't expect to see much from him this year because –
probably see him Saturday, but yeah.
Well, yes, that's right. So, no, absolutely. So, if Nico plays at a Heisman level, first of all, that means they're definitely in the playoff, right?
Yes.
And so, if you're telling me he plays at a Heisman level through the playoff, I mean, I think that they could win shootouts against whoever you want to throw out there, right? Because they are at least – their defense is going to, I think, stop the run – and they're going to get after the passer. They're going to get some stops because they're so good up front on defense. If he's playing at a Heisman level, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, but that is asking a lot, right?
Yes. That's a heck of a bar.
Yes.
For him to be, and I know, I mean, look, that's the expectation for him. I get that when you're as hyped as he is. So I understand all that. How quickly can he get there? I don't know. But if he does, and that's – the way he's playing from the jump, then yeah, they're going to have a shot. There's no doubt about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
If their depth chart is any indication, though, he may not have any other starters with him. So that may be tough for him.
I saw that yesterday. Wow. Tennessee's depth chart is out. It's got the word or on a lot of the positions. There's no just listed starters. Well, they have three positions that didn't have, like, the or?
Something like that. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen a lot of ors. A lot of these have a lot of ors. Josh Heupel absolutely just set a new standard for or on a depth chart. Incredible stuff.
He did. That was basically his way of saying, I hate this. We're going to make this as useless as possible. Yes. Which was kind of like his press conference yesterday. I texted you in the media after that, though, but I was like, good gracious. We need some football.
Man, I tell you.
I think old Heupel's tired of talking.
I think so.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on some college football, your Titans questions, everything on the table. Coming up next segment, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexer. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. College football week one coming up. Cut down day for the Titans and across the league in the NFL. We'll take it anywhere you want to go in this segment. 615-737-1025. John in Nashville saying everybody's sleeping on Louisville again in the ACC. We'll see.
Yeah.
I like Jeff Brom?
No, absolutely. No, that's another team. I mean, the ACC may not be the best, may not be as good as the SEC or the Big Ten, but it is a very interesting league this year. And look, we know that one of the top four seeds in this playoff will be an ACC team. We know that for a fact. We know, well, you have to be, I mean, basically we know that for a fact, you know, that the top four seed is going to be the four champions of the Power Four conferences. So that's a big deal to get there. Florida State could still be a top four seed after losing a game.
Yeah, they could be.
Does that bother you?
We've seen top four seeds making the playoff after losing a game.
That's right. Well, like Caroline said,
now if they get to two or three, then yeah, it's going to bother me.
Yes. Well, that's fair. Three, yes. Like Caroline said.
Well, that's going to happen at some point. There's going to be a top four seed. There's going to be a top four seed that's a two or three loss team, and that's going to bother me.
With the conference champion thing. But, you know, that also happens in pro sports, you know, too, right? Like with the division winners.
Not pro sports.
Right. I understand. But I'm just saying, like that. But that's what it's.
I know.
It's obviously it's what it actually is.
Well, that's a good point.
You know. So yeah,
I got a text that says, "Should the Titans get a third QB off of waivers?" I would expect that will happen. Now, I don't know who it's going to be, and I think the path that you've laid out there is probably the right one in terms of whoever it is. It's probably going to be on the practice squad. Like we floated the idea out there of. Could the Titans keep three quarterbacks and could Malik be on the active or could be on the 53? And now that they've traded him, I would be surprised if whichever quarterback they get off the street, you know, barring somebody that I guess maybe we don't anticipate, whichever quarterback they get off the street to come in here and be the third guy, I would be surprised at this point if they were on the 53. That's just me.
Yeah, I would too. So, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately they'll end up with a quarterback, a young quarterback on the practice squad this year, and they're going to roll with QB1 and QB2 otherwise. Yep. And then, you know, look, if it ends up there, you start having QB injuries and you have someone who's lesser than Willis and who isn't ready to come in at all and help, then you could look back at this and say, man, maybe you should have tried to keep Malik around. But at this point, I mean, I think that you have a good QB2. I mean, I think I'd like to talk at some point about where Mason Rudolph is in the pantheon of QB2. So, like, you have to kind of assume health in some aspects of your football team, right?
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, let me ask you this, man. How excited are you that the Vols are playing somebody like Chattanooga to start? Because I hate it. Like, I see some of these other teams that are scheduling these bigger games. But, like, I think conference games early are weird, but I think scheduling in just to get, like, a high school team to play you, I just hate it so much because it's not a measuring stick for anything. I guess if you can come out and get a bunch of stats or whatever and get some juice going, but I hate that. Like, I would rather see where they are from the summer than to play a gimme game like that. So I was curious what you're going to take away from this first game.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're a Tennessee fan, the hope is probably you don't take basically anything away from this game, because really the takeaway possibilities from the game is, okay, well, Tennessee looked good, but it was Chattanooga. Or it's Tennessee didn't look very good, and it was Chattanooga, and that's not what you want in this one. So, look, with the 12-team playoff, we've talked a ton about this part of it. Like, I don't like it, but it's here now, so it is what it is. So I'm going to embrace it and watch it this year. One thing that I do hope eventually starts to go away are these type of matchups to begin the season. Is you've got a little bit more flexibility now in terms of your ability to not be totally destroyed by a loss. So use it and go play some good games. Now, Tennessee's playing a good game the next week. I mean, they've got NC State, so it's not like their non-conference is just total trash this year. But, I mean, they've got NC State coming up in week two. But I understand that for the counter-argument to that, what I just said is, well, some of these other programs need these games to have their football program survive, which is, you know, Chattanooga's going to make a lot of money on Saturday just by coming to Knoxville.
Right.
And you know, sometimes the price you pay for that is getting your teeth kicked in a little bit, but you make a lot of money and you move on with your season. So it's a tough balance. I think we've talked about this, the old group of five and some of your lower level teams, especially not even your Division I teams, but your lower level Division I teams even, I think are really going to continue to suffer from all this, not only from the 12-team playoff and everything that goes on with that, but the transfer portal. I mean, if think about MTSU, right? They got a kid that played pretty well for them last year that's now going to be in Tennessee's secondary. Like, if you're really good, the odds of those players staying at some of those programs are way lower than they used to be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting moving forward on all of that. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see an end to – unless it gets to – and this is the thing. This is where some of the TV folks are like, well, that's why we need the Super League and – only games between the teams in that league, and we get rid of all the other stuff, and then we have, again, like the NFL, where you have enough parity that you have compelling matchups for every team every week. I don't see how we ever get to that, but then again, there's a lot of stuff that I would not have guessed that we've gotten to, so I shouldn't make any declarations. But I don't think we're going to totally get rid of the bye games and these games that – one, they do help these programs. They are big payoffs. We're talking seven figures for a lot of these games now that help these programs stay afloat. And two, yeah, these coaches, again, it's like I understand the fan frustration. I do. And like in the past, there have been Power 5 teams that scheduled like four patsies in their non-league.
And your season doesn't even really start until October.
Right, just to inflate the numbers to get to a bowl game. But one or two of these, along with an incredibly rigorous conference schedule, I mean, again, if you're a coach, you're like, one, my guys will not survive, this is what they'll say, survive a season of playing all SEC teams. And by the way, there's all these extra games if we're good because we're going to the playoff.
Right.
So I don't think it's going away, but I understand it. I mean, it's It should not be too much of it. And I hate the SEC. It's one of my least favorite SEC tradition is the week before rivalry week when it's like all over the country. UTEP. There's all these fantastic matchups in all the other leagues, and it's like all the SEC teams are playing absolute tomato cans before their rivalry games.
Right.
That's bad for the fans.
David from Watertown on the text line says, Titans are going to end up with Trey Lance after he's cut from the Cowboys, aren't we?
Oh, man. Trey Lance.
Five-pick game the other day.
Well, that's the thing. Like that TD run, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's electric.
He threw for
323 yards.
A couple of those picks.
Five picks. I think he fumbled the ball twice.
Holy cow, some of those picks.
Yeah, he's not very good.
No.
So, but I'll say this, though. Every time that kid drops back, it's entertaining. Something's going to happen when he drops back. He's either making a play for your team or the other team, and I like it.
I will say this about him, too. If you're talking about, remember, you know, your practice squad, QBs, your show team, as Vrabel like to call it. It's like your scout team. That guy would be a great scout team quarterback, right? Because I don't care if he makes some mistakes, but, like, he is going to make some plays and make you sweat in practice.
Yeah. Trey says, Tennessee lost to Georgia State a few years ago. There's no such thing as a high school team. That is true.
No doubt. And that's the best thing about those games is when they turn competitive.
Oh, and it'll happen
in
somebody.
General. Oh, of course.
Somebody this weekend, it'll happen too.
Absolutely.
Now, they may not lose. You don't see like a huge upset every year, but somebody will go down to the wire with somebody they have no business doing that with this weekend.
I mean, it's college football's version of the NCAA tournament, right? These early season games where you get stunned. I mean, Maction. Oh, did they used to give Big Ten teams hell in September?
Now,
I've
said this before, and this is just a nice, beautiful candidate for me to be just pie in the face on Monday. So I realize that, but I do think like Heupel's offense and the way that they run things has made it not upset proof, but it's pretty darn hard to hang with that for an entire game if you're a team like a Chattanooga or a UTEP or somebody like that.
No doubt.
Typically speaking, they have beaten the doors off of people that they should beat the doors off of under Heupel.
Beat the doors off? Is that a little Freudian slip by you?
No,
for sure. That offense, it closes the gap in theory in a lot of cases with teams that are more talented, and also it's kind of upset insurance. You're kind of upset proof from that. So keep
that
all that sound. Keep that sound.
The Mocs have taken down the balls in Neyland. We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We'll have Mike Sando from The Athletic at 8:30. Quarterback tier season. Be interested to see where Will Levis is. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You listen to this program, you're going to end up smarter at the end of the day. Tyler says, all I can see is Robbie as Thanos, and Joe is the big-headed wizard guy. Robbie should have snapped into the mic and said, Willie,
then give me my theme music!
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours. I turn it over to you.
Thank you. By the way, great Thanos illustration by Dennis yesterday.
It went very well.
Kinda creepy. Pay him for that yet? Have we paid him?
Not yet.
Did Dennis get in? Did Dennis get in?
He's in the league.
He's in the league. Okay, good. I'm glad Dennis is in the league. Good. We did not. No
we
one
did
anything.
Create the competition. I mean, cheat. I wasn't here Friday, so maybe you did.
I didn't. We didn't cheat. Uh-huh. I was too busy just holding back all the F-bombs I wanted to hurl on Kaharski that day to cheat in fantasy football. So I don't know if this will be a screaming enough rant for Paul. But, hey, let's talk about Deion Sanders again. How about Deion Sanders? My goodness. So the latest in this guy not getting it at all. Not just him not getting it, but like Colorado not getting it. It's really disappointing. This has to be, and I understand that college football coaches have an inordinate amount of power already, but like the fact that Colorado is participating in this ridiculousness to the extent it is really disappointing. But, you know, Deion Sanders has banned questions from Sean Keeler. We've talked about Sean Keeler. He's a Denver Post columnist who has been critical of him. He's been snarky. He's a snarky local columnist, making some, you know, some little digs. Brings me back to when Butch Jones was here talking about his recruiting class and talking about five-star hearts, and I think I wrote, like, hey, he's like a wind-up doll. You just pull the string, and Butch Jones says ridiculous stuff. You know, like you're just saying some snarky things, you know? Which, by the way, at the time, Vols fans very upset because Butch was going to get it done. This is college football.
Didn't go well.
But, you know, like, I mean, he called him the Bruce Lee of BS. Okay, that's snarky. I mean, that's a snarky comment. Deion, like, there's a lot of fair and valid criticism of Deion Sanders. And also, Deion Sanders, it's his right to get mad about it. It's his right to fire back on it. I mean, if you got a problem, they had this press conference. He tried to ask him a question. Deion's like, why do you do this to yourself? Well, just answer my question. Why do you do this to yourself? Okay, so now he goes and gets him banned from asking questions of anyone in the program? I mean, it's so weak. It's so freaking weak, and it's just another, to me, indication of what's coming here with his tenure at Colorado. So Mark Kisla, we know Mark Kisla around here. If you're a Preds fan, you know Mark Kisla. He's written some very, you know,
he's an interesting cat.
I remember I actually got into a little bit of a columnist battle with him when I was at the Tennessean and he was ripping Nashville. What did he say about Nashville? He say something like,
I don't know.
He was ripping. It was like
they've had some doozies at the Denver Post over the years.
Yeah, they've had some interesting stuff. So Mark Kisla, he is allowed to ask Deion questions, but this was a little back and forth he had with, or part of a little back and forth he had with Deion after Kisla's co-columnist got banned from ever asking questions.
Blocks the outside noise or feeds on the outside noise?
You don't care, really, because it don't influence you. I've never read an article or a comment and said, oh, that's going to make me go harder. I'm going to go hard regardless. But that comment just allowed me to know where you stand.
Yeah.
So that's the only differential of the thing. It doesn't propel me. Where I came from propelled me.
Okay.
How I grew up propelled me. Like, you know, being African-American, one of few that's a head coach in college football, that kind of stuff propels me. It's not what you say. That lets me know where you stand.
Okay, the second part goes to where do you stand, or where do I stand, or where do we stand together? So I hope that I'm covering you from now through the college football playoff.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I pray so.
And, but I'm also known as a person that sometimes asks less than supportive questions or critical questions.
I
ask a negative question, you not answer them anymore?
That's being negative right now. Like, you take an approach that I'm going to be negative. I'm not negative to anybody in here. I would challenge you and ask you why or where is this coming from. So I'm not built like that. I'm not built to hate. I'm not a hateful guy. I come with love. I think if anybody in here has had encounters with me, I don't come with the bull jump. I come with the peace and the joy. Now, when you show me where you stand, I might have to change that a little bit. So I'm not going to match your ignorance or whatever. Not saying that you're ignorant, but a person, I'm not going to match that. Well, that's your prerogative. I don't have to come where you come, where you are, because my life is complete. I don't, like, what you say, what you do is not going to change my life.
And there was they went on and back and forth on that. He was like, you guys act like this is the first time I've been shot at before and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, like, it's like a columnist who's like made some snide remarks. And by the way, you went 4-8 last year. Like,
that's the thing.
You ran off an entire team. Like, I mean.
And they're not going to be very good this year.
If you're,
they're over under win totals, five and a half.
Well, the thing is, he's got a first round quarterback in his son, and he's got a definite first round corner/receiver in Travis Hunter. So they better be pretty good this year. They've done some good recruiting and portal ads. But again, the bottom line is, like, you can get mad. The back and forth is fine. Vrabel sat here, and I know it's pro versus college, but it really, from the coaching perspective, it's not different. You're making millions of dollars to coach a game.
Yeah.
And you are asking all these people to spend a lot of money, and it's really absurd in some ways, the asks on fans financially now. And so this is like where you know, if things don't go well, yeah, you have to answer for it. And people are going to ask you questions you don't like. And people are going to write things you don't like. And you're going to do this official banning of someone? I mean, it's just, it's, It's very weak. I think we don't have time. Of course, we're going to make it about me. But, I mean, I had a coach who did this to me 1 year, wouldn't answer my questions. But it wasn't like Michigan State. This was John L. Smith in the 2006 year that he got fired. But it wasn't like Michigan State had this whole thing where, like, you are not allowed to ask the student athletes questions, but you can ask our field hockey coach questions if you would like.
Yeah.
It was just he wouldn't answer my questions. Okay. I kept asking questions. He kept saying, and you, how about you? I mean, that's okay, fine. That's how it goes. This becoming like some official thing with a press release listing the things that Sean Keeler said, and you read and it's like, this is why? This is why you've officially banned this guy from asking questions? I mean, it's
just not going
to
end well.
Frankly, I hate to quote Jared, but like the entire thing is, my God, it's soft.
It's not going to end well for Deion in Colorado. It's just not. It's not going to end well. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. Maybe I'm wrong about that. We'll see. And then I mean, there's a lot of people think he's going to leave after this year anyway. We'll see what happens on that front. I will say the more that he can use the phrase bull junk.
Bull junk is great.
The better off we'll all be.
Bull junk is great. Tennessee 615 at Tennessee 9311. Pick your number, man. Says, time for the Ray rant. Why is this station obsessed with Deion Sanders? A Deion rant again? Lord have mercy. We know people dislike Deion because he does things his way, and me and people like me love it. So at least we get to hear more things about Deion. Okay. Well, look, Deion Sanders, good or bad, last year I was ranting here about how he's amazing and his pregame speech had me ready to run through a wall, and oh my God, it's going to work out great for him. I mean, it's a huge story in college football. It's a huge story in sports, whether you like it or not. Right. And the fact is, the last two things that were ranted about were like absurd things that deserve to be ranted about. So I'm glad you like it.
A lot of people complaining about your rants lately. Tennessee 615, Kuharski.
Yeah. I know.
A lot of complaining going on. Tua! 615-737.
I say let's have more Rob rants.
1025 is our phone number. Take your thoughts on Deion Sanders, your thoughts on the Titans. Titans trading Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers yesterday. We'll get into that. Roster cutdown day coming up as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game.